From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to North America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. First of all, a happy birthday wish. I normally don't do this, but to a favorite Coast to Coast listener, her name is Mary Esparza. Happy birthday, Mary. October 6th, that's today. She has lupus. Unable to work and spends a lot of time listening to Coast. It is, according to her sister, the highlight of her day. Well, thank you for that, and happy birthday again, Mary, and you get well. Next hour, L.A. Marzulli, a UFO researcher, sharing some theories of a coming great deception, and a lot of this has to do with the Nephilim. A bizarre story that you will be captivated by once we get into it. Now, here's some of the stories of the day, and there are some big ones. First of all, in Toronto, a story we have been following, a story that we broke last week, a mysterious outbreak at a nursing home that claimed 16 lives and just stoked international fears about the safety of Canada's largest city was likely caused by Legionnaires' disease, which is a form of pneumonia. Autopsy results showed at least three of the deaths at the Seven Oaks Home for the Aged were directly linked to that disease. Now, as tragic as this story is, having it to be Legionnaires' disease is probably the best thing that could have happened because people were beginning to wonder all kinds of things. Sometime next week, we'll be talking to investigative reporter John Rappaport, by the way, as he continues his investigation into the World Health Organization, into the thoughts of the avian flu pandemic. And as you know, this week, President Bush said that he'll use the military, if he has to quarantine people or regions if that avian flu breaks out. John Rappaport does not believe that flu is as big or significant as a lot of people say, and I tend to agree. The New York City Police Department and the FBI are now investigating a credible tip that 19 operatives have been deployed in the city to place bombs in the subway, and security in these subways has now been increased. However, Department of Homeland Security says that they are very doubtful that the threat information is credible. So we now have two ends of the spectrum on this story. The city's police department says it was taking the threat seriously and believed the source was reliable, but also urged the public, you, not to be alarmed because the information had not been verified. Mayor Michael Bloomberg said that this was the most specifically detailed threat made against the subway system, and he urged New Yorkers to be vigilant. I want to assure New Yorkers that we have done and will continue to do everything we can to protect the city, he says. We will spare no expense. Now, according to sources in intelligence, emergency services, and police headquarters, the intelligence community apparently developed information that the threat may have involved pharmacists, that's right, pharmacists from Iraq coming to New York for some kind of chemical attack targeting subways. Three insurgents, one or more of whom are pharmacists, were arrested during a raid by U.S. military and intelligence community teams in Iraq, and one of those caught disclosed the threat. Because it slipped out during the arrest, the plot was deemed credible. After several days of work, the New York Police Department became increasingly concerned because it was unable to discredit the initial source and additional information from that source. The 19 operatives were to place improvised explosive devices in the subways using briefcases, according to two other sources. Police Commissioner Ray Kelly said the officers will continue to check bags, briefcases, luggage, and strollers, and additional uniformed and undercover officers will be riding in individual subway cars. The student who blew himself up outside of a packed Oklahoma University football stadium Saturday night apparently tried to buy large quantities of ammonium nitrate, which is a key ingredient in what was the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing the week before, according to a new report. His name is Joel Joe Henry Heinrichs III, attended a Norman, Oklahoma mosque near his university-owned apartment. The same one, by the way, attended by Zacharias Moussauri, the only person charged in connection with the 9/11 attacks. This according to a report by News Channel 9 in Oklahoma City. In a moment, our guest will be terrorism expert Douglas Hagman as we talk about this Oklahoma City bomber and also the story of the New York subway terror threat. All that is next on Coast to Coast AM. Douglas Hagman is the director of the Northeast Intelligence Network. He's also the CEO of Hagman Investigative Services. He has more than 20 years of experience performing investigations in the private sector for many Fortune 500 companies. Very well known as a surveillance specialist, author of Tactical Surveillance, a training manual for investigators who perform covert surveillance assignments. Hagman began using his investigative skills and training to fight terrorism as an unpaid volunteer from the private sector, and then established the Northeast Intelligence Network, monitoring terrorist websites so that another 9/11 could be avoided. He is our guest tonight. We will take our phone calls this hour with Douglas Hagman as well. Douglas, thanks for coming on again at such short notice. Appreciate it.
George, thank you very, very much for having me on today. This is great.
Let's talk first, if we can, about the situation in New York. There seems to be a difference here between the Department of Homeland Security, which says they're doubtful the threat information is credible, and then the New York City Police Department and part of the FBI, who claim to be investigating a credible tip. So why the difference here, Douglas?
There's always a difference, or there seems to be always a difference in these matters, no matter what. The initial tip, George, came from the Department of Defense, from a military unit, obviously in Iraq, as you spoke about in the news broadcast. By the time it made its way to the Department of Homeland Security, it morphed into a few different things, and the actual information became rather convoluted. Now, I spoke with the person in the military, one of the people who had been aware of the threat initially. Now, this threat is not a new threat in terms of, they didn't discover this yesterday. This has been around for a while. On the other hand, the Department of Defense versus the Department of Homeland Security, you ask why the difference? Well, I'll tell you what, there is still a lot of interagency lack of communication, miscommunication, and turf battles that essentially exist to our peril. So
I would tend, Douglas, to side with the New York City Police Department and the FBI as opposed to Homeland Security. I mean, this just seems like they know too much. They've got it down to the number, 19.
Well, this is a very credible threat. This is extremely credible, and it has been really for a number of years, but now they've got, as you indicated, one person, and it's really actually it's more than one person, and it also, I'll say this exclusively on your show, according to my source, who is not anonymous, just confidential, this involved not only verbal statements made by an individual, but also data obtained from computer disks and a couple of computers that were confiscated. Very detailed plans of an attack against the New York City subway system that involved not only explosive but chemical or biological laden explosive devices, not only involving men of Middle Eastern descent but also involving women and also younger people.
Hence the investigating of strollers, perhaps?
Yes, exactly. What is happening right now, because a lot of people are calling in tips and taking this more seriously, the profile of the Islamic terrorist, those people who adhere to that type of philosophy, they are recruiting, as I'll talk about later, in the Oklahoma University situation, they are recruiting non-Islamic, non-Arab-looking men and women to further their cause. So it's It's not even profiling anymore. You're not able to really do that, or it's not the 18 to 35 crowd of Arab-looking men. It's gone beyond that.
And it appears, Douglas, that they have a knack for finding people with suicidal tendencies.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Exactly. They cultivate from prisons. They cultivate from, they will actually pray. When I say they, I mean the leaders of these terrorist organizations will actually pray on people that are disenfranchised Americans. There was an entire issue of the Al-Batar magazine, a paramilitary training magazine, on how to essentially find people to do these types of deeds. Very interesting. And they included the people I referenced before. So right now we are in a threat environment that has morphed into something that you just cannot look at someone and say, boy, that person fits the profile. Well, sure you can, but don't forget about the person behind him or her that is a Caucasian, we'll say, that has a stroller and appears to be innocuous, because that person may indeed be one that has been recruited by the Islamic terrorists. And in fact, this is what we saw, a very, very good template. We saw this back in 1995 in Oklahoma City that Jaina Davis wrote about very comprehensively in her book. So what we're seeing now today is what Jaina Davis wrote about, and also what happened in 1995 and what has been brewing really for the past 30 years, and that is a method of recruitment that will set our standards of profiling just out the window.
A year ago, mayor of New York, the police department chief, they all got together. They made a statement on a Saturday about the need to be vigilant, to watch out for the financial district. They believe that a number of financial institutions, buildings, were going to be bombed. It was a major story. Nothing happened. I don't know if we thwarted this or what, but nothing happened. Now we look at this situation as well. Are these scare tactics, or are these tactics just to keep us on our toes? What are they, Douglas?
I don't believe that they're scare tactics. Here's what I think, and the bottom line this is. You cannot pinpoint, or you cannot, any terrorism expert will not provide dates, pinpoint specific dates of a terrorist operation that will take place. You can say that this is what they're talking about, but you really can't put a date on it. Although the Islamic terrorists have an affinity towards, number one, locations such as Washington and New York, and they have propensity to realize the dates of symbolism, that does not mean that they are going to adhere to a pattern of activity that is that on 9/11 of 2006 something is going to happen, or the date of, let's say, some celebratory date. It doesn't matter. The dates should not be looked at as definitive.
Well, Paul Williams, who's written a book on the Al-Qaeda connection, believes that Ramadan, which we are now in, could be a very significant period for terrorist activity.
You know, I heard the interview, great interview. I believe it could very well be. If nothing happens, it would not surprise me. Ramadan has always been, since 9/11, since people began paying attention, historically, it's always been a period of importance, especially in battle. So I will say that the threat level in this particular time period is higher. But if nothing happens, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the threat level. All it means is they're just continuing their operation, and it will happen. It's just a matter of time. It's not if, it's when.
Well, and I agree with you, Douglas. I think what probably happened is this arrest during a raid by the U.S. military and intelligence community teams, which probably occurred several weeks ago, probably showed some plans to try to come into this country, to try to do what they are now reporting could be done to the subways. And I think they probably feel as if some of these individuals are already in the country, don't you?
Exactly. They, as a matter of fact, I have on some notes here, there are individuals in Canada, at least one individual in Mexico, and some in the United States. The number 19 I've heard, I'm not sure if that's a solid number, but it appears to be at least 19, if not more. but we're talking about the entire North America here. Yes, I believe that they're in this country, as well as Canada and Mexico, based on the information and the intelligence that I've been given by people close to this particular story.
Of course, you remember the big scare a few months ago when they were talking about some Chinese nationals coming into this country to be on alert for them, that they could be trained in biological warfare. Do you remember that story?
Yes, we spoke about that. And frankly, that story was mistreated, I suspect, by the press. I do believe that there was a distinct threat there. Obviously, aside from the illegal alien aspect of that story, I believe that these people were carriers of information and operational plans. I think that maybe these people and others at that time were being sought. Whether or not the exact details as they were provided by the mainstream media as well as the intelligence agencies were accurate as provided at the time, I'm not certain that that's the case. But nonetheless, I wouldn't dismiss that as being a misstatement or a hollow threat.
Now back to Oklahoma City for a moment. This individual who blew himself up Saturday outside of a packed Oklahoma University football stadium, he apparently now tried to buy large quantities of ammonium nitrate, which of course was a key ingredient in the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing. He attended a mosque where Zacharias Massari also attended, he being the only person charged in connection with the 9/11 attacks. Do you believe that there's something more here, or is this the act of an individual who may have, had big eyes about, going to a mosque, about trying to obtain ingredients, maybe wanted to commit suicide, take other people out, I don't know yet, as opposed to some organized terrorist attack?
I believe that just as we heard the phrase, the shot heard around the world, I believe that this is the explosion that has been muffled throughout the United States.
You do?
Yes, I do. This is, and essentially, we have, the Northeast Intelligence Network has information from confidential, reliable sources within the Norman area.
By the way, you were 3 days ahead of the story that broke today about the fact that he knew some people at the mosque and places like that.
Yes, and I'll tell you what, I thank my sources, and I thank the people who really care about this country. And also, George, I got to tell you, I thank you and radio shows, radio hosts like yourself, that really care about the country, about getting this. You know, you have not seen this on any of the major media. The only way the American people are finding out that at 7:20 p.m. on Saturday...
They buried that story. I couldn't believe it.
It's beyond my comprehension, and as a matter of fact, George, I'll tell you, yesterday I came as close as I've ever come to hanging it up and saying, you know what, I'm done. I'm done because...
Well, don't be done. We need you.
Well, thank you very much, but you know what, a little sleep does wonders. But what the bottom line is this, Americans have to understand that on Saturday at 7:20 p.m., we came very close to witnessing one of the largest mass casualty events in America's heartland ever since the Oklahoma City bomb.
Now, I'm told that this was a huge explosion. I mean, this guy's body pieces must still be blowing up in the air.
I'll tell you what. It was a mess. I spoke to one individual who was a party to cleaning that up, and the descriptive nature of that, it was a complete mess. This blast, to give you an example, was heard 4 miles away from the blast. It was felt a mile away.
What the heck was this guy carrying?
He was carrying the same ingredient that was used in the London bombings in July.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yes. It's a TATP, or triacetone triperoxide.
Where would this kid get that?
It's easily manufactured at home.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But it is quite unstable, and I'll tell you what, I certainly wouldn't want to try it at home.
And that's apparently what happened to him, right? You think he tried to get into the stadium and blew himself up accidentally first?
We have documentation right here, I'm looking at it, that he attempted twice, minimum of two times, to enter that stadium through gate 6.
Stay with us, Douglas. We're going to keep you, and we're going to open up the phone calls, because I think a lot of our coast-to-coast listeners may have a question or two to you. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment with our special guest tonight, Douglas Hagman. His website, HomelandSecurityUS.com, linked up with his name at coasttocoastam.com. Well, I'm going to give it to Dr. Luis Turi again, another prediction, and I think he's right again. He said on this program just a few weeks ago, look for October 5, 6, or 7 for dramatic news involving more death and or a police announcement. And this major police announcement by the New York City Police about the possibility of terror in the subways, I think, falls well within that. And Dr. Turi, once again, is continuing to demonstrate to me his tremendous psychic ability. Absolutely tremendous. If you get a moment, by the way, get up to the coasttocoastam.com website. Look at the listener's email photograph Jeff sends in of his little two-year-old Sophie. One of the most adorable pictures I've ever seen. Sophie apparently listens to Coast to Coast AM. She's 2 years old. And just take a look at the picture. There she is with her big old headsets on. They're almost as big as her head. The After Dark newsletter, if you are inclined to pick that up, you will get a free CD. It's Art Bell's classic interview with the late Father Malachi Martin entitled Perfect Possession on Exorcisms. We send that to you when you renew or when you sign up for After Dark. And the After Dark newsletter, by the way, the most current issue will have a lot to do with psychic vampires. So call 1-888-727-5505 for that. 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back. Your phone calls now, and Douglas Hagman, our guest from Homeland Security U.S. Douglas, this entire situation, though, I mean, it just, how much more can Americans take? I mean, we're tough people, my friend. You know that. But, I mean, how many more events, discussions can we take before all of a sudden Americans get very, very upset? As a matter of fact, I just saw a poll just a few days ago. It basically said Americans are fed up. They're tired of it. They're tired of the war. They're tired of this. They're tired of that. The president today had to go on the air nationally to try to continue to drum up support. He's sinking in the popularity polls, and he needs to convince people that his mission is the correct one. How much more can we take?
George, not much more. And I heard that while traveling today. That was relatively poorly executed and rather transparent. And I don't usually say that, but I have to say that, you know, Americans are not stupid. And the intelligence agencies that are pushing the stories down our throats at the with the complicity of the mainstream media, I might add, are just really facilitating our anger. And I think that we have to, at some point, we have to realize that, you know, what we're doing, essentially everything that we're doing in Iraq, however, even if it was started with the best of intentions, at present, it is exacerbating the sentiment of the Islamic fundamentalists, as well as the Islamic moderates here in the United States. They are saying, look, you know, you have no business in our affairs. Wherever you stand in the war, wherever you stand on the politics of war, regardless of your party, terrorism really is not a political issue. It is more of a religious issue. It is more of a theologic issue. And I think people have to understand that for as long as we, for the near future, for the short and long term, we are going to be engaged in this battle, not only overseas, but within this country. And I think that the announcement today about the subway system just brings that back home. And, you know, no matter what we do, I really firmly believe this, that we are going to be embroiled in this war for many years, if not generations.
You see, I think our intelligence is much better than the media has portrayed. I don't think people in the power position have listened to our intelligence communities. I think if they did, they would have taken out Ramzi Youssef.
when he was planning his little schemes. They would have taken out that sheik in New York when he was planning his little schemes. They would have taken all these people out years before any of this had happened. And you know what? I think, and I hate to say this, but this nation needs a special tactical group of people that they turn loose on these potential terrorists and criminals, and that's what they are, and just simply take them out rather than creating the events that are now out there.
I agree 100%. That is exactly what happens when you attempt to fight terrorism with the judicial system. It just does not work. You cannot throw you can't throw Ramzi Youssef in the same jail as Terry Nichols. It just won't work. You cannot. It is just not. And you cannot simply deport those people who are a threat to the country, because what happens is they come back in.
They come back, or they send other people back.
Exactly. And you can't jail them either, because when they get out of jail under the short jail terms, believe me, they're not going to be happy. And that's what we're going to be facing here in a few years.
Well, and not only that, at least publicly, the perception is then that we're not going into these sovereign nations. We won't get that kind of black eye that we have right now, because quite frankly, the image of this great nation is very tarnished abroad, and it's going to take years to polish it up, years to fix it. But if we had these covert people out there just doing what they have to do. I mean, I think we could have taken care of bin Laden when he was lying in a hospital bed. You know, just take care of it that way.
Exactly. We should have done a whole lot of things. The intelligence community saw this coming. The Able Danger issue is one of a massive cover-up that would make Watergate look like a picnic. I can guarantee you that. Our intelligence services, and I don't know how much of this has been covered, but the Project Able Danger, prior to the attacks of 2001, identified at least three of the four cells operating within the United States. And that was, essentially, that was deep sixed before it even got off the ground. And a judicial ruling by that time, Attorney General of the United States said, hey, you can't share this information. This information is DOD information, which cannot be shared with the judicial people. And that came directly from the administration at that time. That was one of the worst mistakes. And then, of course, you talk about the 9/11 Commission, the same people that were involved in that issue, including but not limited to, and this is public knowledge, Jamie Gorelick, they appoint her to the 9/11 Commission to investigate the failures of our intelligence services, which she was a part of. And therein lies a lot of the problems and cover-ups. I'll use that word. We are involved in one of the biggest cover-ups with respect to terrorism today. And it breaks my heart, because we have a great country. And, I love our country. And I think that right now we are in the midst of a crisis.
We have a great country. We have phenomenal soldiers that could be put to better use doing what they do well covertly in some of these other lands, and they could do the job.
You got it. That's correct.
Let's go to the phones. People are lining up to talk with you. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on the air with Douglas Hagman on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, Jim in Vancouver, Canada. How are you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead, Jim.
I just beg that you'll consider a couple of extra parameters here, and like if you think why Cheney's blocking these put option investigations and you go to Let's Roll 911. There's something bigger here. Illuminati comes to mind, false flag recruitment, and MKUltra, because there was no airliner at the Pentagon. There was this anthrax thing that's disappeared, but it seemed like a highly technical lab that was involved, possibly in country. And you have what looks like an Oklahoma City bombing. That is the building that was blown up from the inside. I mean, the damage, considering the structure, it seems just to be too exceptional. And you heard about those other bombs being removed by the bomb squads, but they're not all buried too, along with cameras and photographs.
Well, there's no picture. There's no doubt, Douglas, that the picture is bigger than a lot of people know.
Yes, absolutely. You know, how do you eat an elephant just one bite at a time? And we can only address so many things. The picture is indeed much bigger than people probably can actually consume or even comprehend.
Or handle.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, this Oklahoma University bombing on Saturday is just one, is a perfect microcosm, a perfect example, a template of what I believe we can expect in the future.
You talk to most pilots who know about TWA Flight 800. Nearly every one of them will tell you those fuel tanks did not blow up from an arcing wire in some kind of a natural accident.
You know, I flew over, I flew to Las Vegas here a couple of weeks ago, and I had an opportunity to talk extensively with a pilot as our plane was delayed for 2 hours. And that, and the conversation did touch on Flight 800. And this pilot in particular did mention the shoe bomber, the explosive TATP at that time, 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks ago. And in his line of thought, in his discussion with other pilots was, hey, this was a shoe bombing prior to people knowing.
Well, as Peter Lantz has reported on this program, Douglas, I'm sure you've heard him before, the former ABC reporter, he's convinced that Ramzi Youssef was behind it, even though he was in jail at the time. But it was ironic that TWA Flight 800 blew up around the same period that he was going to trial again, and he was looking for a mistrial. I'm convinced that they tried it in another plane before, when the Japanese fellow got blown out of his chair and killed. They missed a tank in that plane by a couple rows. They got it right this time. The TWA 800.
You know, I'll tell you what, I had even forgotten about that incident you mentioned. Very good point. I think that people, you know, in retrospect, when you look back, even at Flight 990, Egypt Air Flight 990, if you look in hindsight at things that have happened, I really believe that a lot of things can be explained through the prism of terrorism. And again, not being conspiratorial, but just simply. And I think you're right. You know, the arcing wires, no, you know, I just don't believe that, nor do any of the pilots I've spoken with.
Or me. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir.
This is,
hi.
This is Bob from Metzger's Field, Indiana.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned the president's speech earlier, and it's my understanding that none of the major media was given notice beforehand that avian flu is going to be mentioned. This ties into your guest, because 6 hours after his speech, there was a plane that crashed in Canada. It was announced on CNN one time today.
Had six vials of a virus, right?
When I heard it 6 hours later, there were two vials, is what CNN reported. And one other instrument. And yes, it was a virus. And I was wondering if your guest thought that all of the information about New York, what's going on with the subway system, the transit systems, if he thought that maybe that, along with the Karl Rove information, all this may be a cover up because. Like I said, it was only announced once. I haven't heard anything.
Cover up or a diversion?
Well, either a diversion. A diversion.
Yeah, I think that's what you mean. Douglas, what do you think?
You know, I heard about this briefly. As a matter of fact, my secretary has a note here that big letters follow up, okay, about this particular crash. Written to me. I have to agree, just from what I've recently read over the last couple of hours, that there is some connection. To dispute or to discount any connection right now would be irresponsible. I'm definitely going to be taking a look at this as our investigators that we have in Canada and elsewhere, and informants within the FAA. So we will have something to report on this, I am sure, within the days and weeks to come.
Let's move on. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Eric from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hello, Eric.
My question for you and your guest is, I work for a major electronics company. I'm a technician. I repair things, and without giving too much any more information. But my question is, what kind of things should I look for? Am I safe in Louisville, Kentucky? Or I mean, Do I have to worry about these type of things?
good question. I don't think that anyone should really be covered by the blanket of safety or think that they're safe anywhere within the country or outside of the country.
Yet I don't think you should run around, with fear-mongering
and
panicking.
You can't. You've got to keep doing what you do every day and do it like we're proud Americans that we are and productive Americans that we are. On the other hand, what to look for, that's a great question because people tell you, hey, there's this threat out there to the subway system, for example, but what do you look for? Well, you had covered that, people with strollers and briefcases and unattended packages. You look for things that are out of place. That's the best. You know, the best thing I could tell you is if your gut tells you that something is not right, listen to it, because more people have been saved that way by their intuition and also by their observations or their intuition that they're based on their observations than other things.
I went to see Flight Plan this weekend, Douglas. Great movie with Jodie Foster. So I'm sitting in the theater, and a woman from Thailand is sitting a couple rows in front of me, and it's right before the movie starts. She's got all these packages and a purse and all that, and she says, will you do me a favor? Please watch my package for me while I go and get some popcorn. And she took her purse, and she ran out. And I said, sure, okay, and as she was going. And now she was gone 20 minutes. The movie's about ready to start, and I'm saying to myself, this place is going to blow up. And I mean, it's that kind of paranoia that I bet is hitting every American right now, and that's unfortunate.
You know, it's unfortunate, but other countries have been living this way, you know, for much longer than we have. Boy, would that be something, you know, movie about to start and you're looking at packages.
I mean, I was ready to go get someone and say, hey, she's not back yet. You better take these things out. And then she comes back. She got her hands full. She got two sodas, ice cream, popcorn. And I felt like an idiot.
Well, George, did she buy you popcorn?
No, she did not. But she did thank me for watching her packages.
Oh, wow, man. And we've had people that have been that have found packages in different places like cell phones and even backpacks in open places that have been unattended that have reported them to the security forces there. And in some cases, a lot of cases, they said, well, don't worry about it, or, okay, we'll take care of it, but never did. In some cases, it's a lack of attention. It's a lack of taking this stuff seriously, and it's gonna get some of us killed sometime.
East of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Final question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a really two questions.
We'll only have time for one, sir.
Well, on that suicide bomber on Saturday, right after it happened, the news said that he blew himself up right by the microbiology lab. and after that, you don't hear anybody say nothing about it. And it's just like if you stop and think, 84,000 people, what was in that lab? Because if he blew up the lab, it could have been some kind of germ or something. And here you can have all those people from all over, and then maybe have a bomb inside to make everybody scatter, and then go all over the country, and then that's where Bush's pandemic fear could come in.
Interesting point. We looked at that possibility. I know that some of the windows were shattered of that building. That building just happened to be in the proximity, and the bomber happened to be in the proximity of some in an unlit area where some buses were parked that transferred VIPs to and from that stadium and people to and from that stadium. I think that area where the blast occurred was more serendipitous than planned in this particular case. That's really the only, at this point, the only answer that we have come up with, unless we come across information different than that.
Douglas, as usual, you'll be back again. I know you will. So
thank you.
Appreciate you being on the program. Douglas Hagman, Homeland Security U.S. has nothing to do with Homeland Security. That's just his website. I'll be back in a moment as we move into a coast-to-coast format. The Nephilim on Coast to Coast AM.